breath, I'll praise your name. With every breath in me, Jesus, with every...
Here are these Pharisees. What do they want to do? They want to crush Stephen. They want to say, they want to crush the disciples at this point. They want to crush them and stop them from speaking. And finally, someone says, you can't win this battle because you're going to find if it's from God, it's not going to be stoppable. And if it's from man, it just collapses. I want you to ask that question about your own repentance. When my repentance collapses, maybe there's something I have left unfilled, something I haven't quite let the Spirit of God deal with me in my life, something that's going on inside of me that I need God to deal with, something maybe deeper, something maybe shallower, something I haven't thought of, something that triggers that. Maybe it's because when sometimes in life I trigger this emotion with this emotion and this one and that one, and because you look just like he or she or that moment in my life, it's like those memory moments. You know, when with mom gone, I turned on Jeopardy the other day. Memory moment. Oh, mom, I don't have anybody to watch Jeopardy. Click, I don't want to watch it. You think that, yeah, it's an emotion, isn't it? And they come like that, which aren't all bad, but they come like that, and they press into your life. And God is looking at his people going, I've come to bring a holiness. And a holiness does not mean that you perfect yourself. A holiness is that the righteousness of God has filled you up and emptied everything out of you that doesn't belong there. I was sharing in morning Bible study, I said, I have this area of bitterness in my life, and I talked to the Holy Spirit, and he said it was okay. Right? Is the Holy Spirit going to say your bitterness is okay? Is the Holy Spirit going to say, I understand why you're always angry at your wife, or why you're always disappointed in your husband, or why you're always frustrated with your sister or your brother? I understand that. You know, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit said that. It's okay. Well, he's not going to say that because it's not of the Spirit. It is something filling us where it's preventing the work of Christ from emptying us out, from dealing with us honestly. And it isn't like God hates me for that. It's kind of like, have you ever had little kids, sometimes you put a bandage on their cut or their wound, and then they start picking at it, and about 4 minutes later, it's gone? You ever notice that? Oh, it's my bandage. I need another one, green one this time. I get them colored bandages. And you go, why do they do that? They don't know any better sometimes. Why would I want to keep a bandage on you to heal you thoroughly and completely? What you have to understand is God is trying to speak to these people, and even through the Sanhedrin here, who are behaving absolutely foolishly, punishing the disciples, think they're somehow going to shut down and keep quiet the Holy Spirit, who is like a pitcher of overflowing water. They will not be able to stop it any more than you can, you know, build a dam after it's too late and everything has collapsed. The Holy Spirit is going to get done what God wants to get done. And that's even in your life. And so you have to recognize what's going on here. The last little section that I want you to understand is this one. It starts there in 41 and 42. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. And day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. That's what happens when people get filled up. The world can press on them all they want, but it is overflowing out of them. And you even get close to them, your hand is going to get wet. Your life is going to get touched. There is going to be something of the Spirit of God that's going to move in your life as you step next to someone. And so the question would go like this. If your assignment was to look in your family or look in your church and find these people filled with the Holy Spirit like they did with Stephen, I want you to ask yourself, what would you be looking for? And another even more important question is this. What are you lacking that you would not be counted among that number? Because it's not on God's side that you're lacking anything. Oh, I'm sorry. Bruce, you got enough Holy Spirit. That's all I'm going to give you. No, you can cry all you want. I'm not going to give you my Spirit because there's only so much I have here. You know, it's not going to do that. But Lord, you got to let me keep my bitterness and my hurt, my anger. He goes, I'm not going to let you do that. It's not going to work that way. And so when you start reading this now and you go into this chapter, as was read to you, the number of disciples were increasing. The Jews are upset about it. The Hebraic Jews are getting more attention than the Grecian Jews. And it says, so the 12 gathered and they said, it's important that we continue to do the ministry of the word and then find these seven men. And then they said this in verse 3 there. Brothers, choose seven from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. See, the sermon isn't just about Stephen, but it's about recognizing and looking in the mirror and asking myself, Lord, what am I shutting you out of so that that portion of my life is not overflowing? Because that's the work the Spirit wants to do. And He does it so gently, so lovingly. God is certainly going to have to break some people because they're that hardened against Him. But ultimately, when you understand the Spirit, it's like when your mother takes a wound and she gently rubs that soap and water to clean it and get the grit and the sand and all the other things that have been ground in there during your road rash or whatever you had. And she cleans it out, and then she even puts some stuff on to help draw out any sand or dirt or grit. And then she covers it with a bandage. And, all the things that they do as much as they can so that all of that infection is removed so that you can heal and be whole again. That's the nature of God's working here in the lives of people. God simply says, and the disciples recognize it, choose seven filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Look around. They should be there. And I'm looking and I'm going, I want all of us to be able to fit that. Not because I can give it to you. It's not something I possess to pour into you. It's something that the Holy Spirit wants to do. It is not like God is going to get angry with you. You know, you stupid person, you don't have, He's not going to do that. He's going to go, would you like more? Can I give you more? How about some more? It'll help you. It'll change your heart. It'll make work go better. Your relationship with your wife and your husband will change dramatically. Please let me give you more. You see, the key is understanding the intimacy of God and the work that He does. And you pick out this guy named Stephen, and we read about him, and it says, the proposal, they selected a man full of faith and, by implication, full of the Holy Spirit. And then it continues to go on. They lay hands on these guys, and it says, and the word of God, the word spread, the numbers of disciples, the large number of priests in faith. They capture, where's the phrase then that I'm looking at the very end with Stephen? Lost the last little verse. 6:8. Went to the wrong spot. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. And you begin to understand that God was working in the middle of this strange and peculiar situation. You understand, it starts off with people in jail. God brings them out of jail. They get rearrested. They get beaten. They're set free. And they celebrate with joy the fact that they were worthy of suffering for the cross. There's something different about these people. Something's changed. They don't respond the same. You know, that stupid Sanhedrin, they didn't do that. They rejoiced that they could suffer for the kingdom. And then, out of this, what do? They bring up, find seven full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Stephen is selected. And as it goes along, in terms of that, you begin to understand this whole process. And finally, at the end, it says, all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen after he had been arrested and at his face. It was like the face of an angel. I'm not sure what that is. You seen an angel? I don't think they look like this. I don't think they're full of bitterness. Here's Stephen in a terrible situation. He should be whining and crying and pouting and terrified. And Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, is standing his ground, looking at these people and a face of an angel. It says, no judgment, no bitterness, no harshness. God has emptied that man out, and it's overflowing into his looks, and it's overflowing into the people around him, so that the Sanhedrin has to look at one another and ask the question, there is something dramatically different about these Christians. We threaten them and they go right back and preach the word. We scare them, we beat them, and they celebrate that they can suffer for the kingdom. They should be treating us with this attitude, and instead, look at his face. He's got the face of an angel. What's the testimony? You're fighting against God. Quit it. This is a work of God. And that's the miracle that the people are beginning to unravel at Pentecost. What's God doing? It wasn't that the disciples didn't have the Holy Spirit, right? It wasn't even that some of them were more full than others. It was that they had more to receive. They had more in abundance to receive, and God wanted to pour it out into their lives. And so, as it says, as they gathered together at Pentecost and they prayed to God and they sought after God, that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. And they began to be filled up so that it began to overflow out of their lives, so that other people could see, so that a Stephen could be the product of that, so that the church would start to recognize there are people that you raise up full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and there are people that have the Holy Spirit that are brothers and sisters but have not yet been filled simply because they haven't been allowed, or excuse me, God has not been allowed to give to them all that he has for them. And so here's my challenge, my offering, my invitation. It's one I've been trying to help us understand. The heart of God is to pour out his Holy Spirit in this superabundance. Every time you hit a spot where you're resisted, where you feel like you're going to collapse, stop a moment and say, I'm about to get really bitter and angry at my husband, my wife, my child, my friend, my neighbor. I get so emotional about this stuff on TV, Lord. God says, just turn it off a second. Click. Said, now ask for more of my Spirit. What? Ask for more of my Spirit. Lord, will you give me more of your Spirit? Yes. Well, how much? Hold still. I'll pour more in. How much? More. How much? More. I can turn TV on and I go, wow, it changed me, didn't it? And God goes, yes. I cannot always change what those people do or how those people act. I didn't change the Sanhedrin. They were foolish, wicked, selfish, arrogant, judgmental men. They hated Jesus. They hated what he stood for. They hated Peter. They hated the disciples. They hated Stephen. But he could change Stephen in the middle of it. Lord, as he looked up into heaven, give me all of your Spirit. And he had the face of an angel. God has this desire that even in the worst of our suffering, we walk through it, not in our own power, but with our eyes set firmly on him. And it's something you got to be trained in. It's something we practice in the middle of that moment of suffering. Lord, here I am. I'm just going to say, send your Holy Spirit, Lord. I'm going to ask that you open my heart, my mouth, empty me out like a pitcher, and fill me up with all the water of your Spirit you want to pour in there, Lord, until all of this is dealt with and taken care of. And I begin to trust in what the Spirit is doing. You have this ability in God to receive all of this. God has come not to give you it in tiny little drips and drops. God has come to pour it out into your life in abundance. And he wants it to be given to you so that it overflows into each segment of your life. Wherever your struggle with sin or emotions or feelings or attitudes or behaviors, or wherever they are, I want to touch those. I want to create a situation between you and your husband, you and your wife, you and your son and daughter that just will blow your mind and set you both free, that will recreate your heart. Right in the middle of that difficult, difficult boss you work for, right in the middle of a situation you can't see your way clear of, I want to bless your life. That's who God is. Stephen figured it out. His faith was shining like an angel. That's God's invitation to us. Pray with me if you would. Holy Spirit, you know the heart of each one of us. You know how full or empty we are. I know, Holy Spirit, that sometimes my repentance is self-generated. I also know, Holy Spirit, when it's generated by you, I cry differently, I feel differently, and I'm purified differently. There is a work you want to do in our hearts today. It's a work of tender mercy and love. It's a work that empties us out with true repentance, that takes us right to the deepest spots of our lives, our emotions, our pain that have been there for a moment, a week, a month, or 10 years, or 50 years, or even more. And in that, Lord Jesus, you want to pour a spirit of refreshment, spirit of wholeness, the spirit of life. And so I invite you, Holy Spirit, to touch people's hearts with true repentance today. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to be poured out into the lives of each one of us. As we walk forward to your altar, Lord, bring us to that intimate repentance with you. And then fill us, Lord, that we would be overflowing, that we would have so much of you, we will break out laughing and have a joy on our face that just overflows to the rest of the world around us. Come and do that by your Spirit, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. As the offering is received, we pray God's special mercy and grace in your life in the area of finances. We ask that he would just guide you and lead you and bless you in superabundance. If you're a guest or a visitor, please do not feel like you got to put any in. And if you need some, take it out. It doesn't belong to us anyway.
As we offer our material gifts to God this morning, we can also offer him the gift of song. Just sing a praise to him this morning. That's what we're going to do during the offering, is just sing a song of praise to our Lord who is worthy.